is Pastor Ed Rice, and we had technical difficulties recording our message this morning, where I preached again on the Philistines and the Amorites and the mice that plagued them because of their victory over God's chosen people Israel. And if you want to get a review of that message, you may look at our penny pulpit, Praise the Lord, that's again available. And so for this date, but tonight I thought it'd be good if we, instead of our preaching message, we'd go ahead and give you the message preached by Charlie Clark at Solid Rock Baptist Church. That's available at solidrockinfo.org. They live stream their messages, and we usually tune in on Sunday night, since we've canceled our church Sunday evening, a Bible study for COVID concerns. And so tonight we're going to go ahead and join Brother Clark. And so let's go ahead and join that message already in progress. And appreciate again that we could have that message for us to listen to tonight. Lord bless you.
Unity in our land through the gospel. And so find a place to kneel or stand, sit with whoever you're with, pray together. Let's pray. Today we're celebrating. We did this morning. Tonight, we're going to take just a moment to have prayer. We're going to pray for our nation. And this week, we were praying that our president would be reelected because of his stance for life and for religious liberty and support of Israel and these things. And I don't know all of what to think about what's going on right now. I know this, the news media does not get to declare who the next president is. And so I'm assuming it's going to be going to the courts, possibly the Supreme Court, because that's the only thing that could ultimately help in this situation. I know this, as Pastor preached this morning, God's on the throne, and we are going to support whoever our next president is. But in the moment, in my opinion, with things still being what they are, I know this, God still hears prayer, and I want whatever is right and just. And as an American, and as American people who love our country, that's what we should be praying for, that what's just and fair would be done. So let's take a moment to pray. God's people need to pray, and we're Christians, and we're Christian Americans. Thank God we get to be Americans. Let's pray right now. And I want you to pray in particular for this situation, that God would help us. I want you to pray God would give us unity in our land through the gospel. And so find a place to kneel or stand, sit with whoever you're with, pray together. Let's pray. Today we're celebrating, we did this morning and had people stand, veterans who have served. Would you pray right now for our U.S. military? God would help the men and women who serve. Let's pray. Whatever is right would be done in our nation. And if this goes to the courts, and if it should be that our president would be reelected, let's pray for that right now. God has the power to do that. If the Lord decides otherwise for us, then we're still going to be patriotic, God-fearing Americans. While we're praying for our nation, let's be praying for abortion to be overturned in our nation. Pastor preached strongly about it this morning. Let's pray. Pray for those in power. Pray for our Supreme Court justices, that God would give them wisdom and in this situation. Pray for safety, our police officers, others in this land, that God would help us. Sing that song. Thank the Lord. Come on, brother. Good stuff. Carla, I love you. Leave his mic off. We can do that all night. Please turn to the Word of God in the book of Romans chapter 8.
I was singing melody on the first chorus, and I was not supposed to sing melody.
Yep, you messed it up.
And I'm thinking, what in the world? How do I get to where I'm supposed to be? But we found it. So that did sound like the first time we sang it. But anyway, the Lord is good.
It's good.
It's my brother, Brother Charlie. He's going to preach.
Thanks. Romans chapter 8 in your Bible.
Make yourselves comfortable. It normally takes a little while.
Romans chapter 8 in your Bible. I was behind him singing the right part. If he was listening to me, he would have been all right. Come on. Romans chapter 8 in the Word of God. I love that song. Thank the Lord. My best friend is Jesus. God help Brother Mike to write that song. Miracles still happen. And thank the Lord. And I love that song. Lifts up Jesus. Romans chapter 8 in your Bible. Father, we need your help. I pray, dear Lord God, that you would cause every person in this room to stop thinking about everything except your word. And Father, I pray you would hide me behind the cross, and I pray that the word of God would arrest our attention. I pray for everyone who's watching on the live stream that they'd be able to focus. And Lord, I pray that you would settle our hearts, settle our minds. And Lord, I pray you do what only you can do. Father, I pray that you'd get glory and honor to yourself tonight. I thank you for these songs. We thank you for Lord Jesus being our best friend. Lord, we thank you that we can praise you. We thank you that you're the light of this world. We thank you for the blood of Christ. Lord, we thank you for our names being written there and heaven being real. And Lord, that we could praise and worship you tonight. And Lord, I pray right now that you would bind our adversary, the devil,
the opponent from off this place. Lord, I know he hates this book, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Lord, we depend on you right now to help us with your power. And I pray this in Christ's precious and holy and wonderful name. Where you're at, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you pray a prayer personally to the Lord right now and ask him to speak to your heart? I know the devil hates the seed of the Word of God, and pray that it will go down into good ground in your heart tonight. Father, again, I pray you bless your word now. We pray in Christ's precious and holy and wonderful name. Amen. Romans chapter 8 tonight, I want to look in the scriptures, and I believe the Lord's trying to put something in our hearts tonight. Pastor Clark and I don't coordinate our messages, and we depend on the Holy Spirit to coordinate those things. That's not about being sloppy or ill-prepared. It's just as God leads us, and I like when the Holy Spirit coordinates things here in our church, and sometimes something in the morning will also be emphasized in the evening, so it's not the same exact message, but the Lord had given me this message in my heart, and I believe what got preached this morning about the power of God will be built upon again tonight from these scriptures. I may be glad for your Bible tonight. Would you say amen right there? And I'm just glad for the Bible. In a crazy world, the Bible gives clarity, and it's our spiritual compass, and it shows us the right direction, spiritual true north, and I'm glad for that. Romans chapter 8, please begin reading in verse 28 along with me. You don't have to sing, you don't have to read out loud right now, but would you read along as I read out loud? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice verse 39. And aren't you glad for the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? How many of you are glad for the love of God tonight? Aren't you glad for the love of God? The love of God is awesome. Now, God's just awesome. Pastor preached this morning about the power of God. And we ought to worship God for who he is in his person. There's no God like our God. Our God is the one and true God, Almighty God, all-powerful God. And I'm glad that
our God is a loving God. And the love of God, please notice verse 39, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We receive the love of God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the good news of the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It was the greatest gift of all time. It was the greatest act of love all time. And we receive the love of God in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord. So I'm glad for the love of God directed towards us. Now here's what's awesome, verse 28, we get to love God. The Bible talks about in verse 28, to them that love God. So we love Him, help me church if you know it, why? Because He first loved us. Before I was ever looking for God, God was looking for me. Before I ever knew God, God knew me. And I'm glad that God showed me His love in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I remind you tonight, don't take the love of God for granted. There are people all around the world that have no concept, no clue about the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never even heard His name. Aren't we blessed to know Christ? Aren't we blessed to know the love of God? Now, because we know the love of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the natural reaction should be that we would love God. To them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. So God has a purpose in all of it. God had a purpose in creating man. And you say, Brother Charlie, what was that purpose? We were made for the glory of God. We were made, Revelation 4:11, for the pleasure of God. We were made to have a relationship with God. God made man to have a relationship with us, and God allows us to have this incredible relationship of knowing God. Aren't you glad we get to know God? Aren't you glad for the love of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that you have a true fellowship with God? Now please hear me. If you don't love God, there's something desperately wrong in your heart. All of God's children should love our Father. And so God made us to have fellowship. Notice verse 29. In His purpose, from verse 28, we learn, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. God knew that He would have His church. He knew He would have those who are in Christ. We are in Christ when we get saved. We are in Christ when we are born again. We are in Christ when we are spiritually baptized by the Holy Ghost of God, fully immersed into, placed into Christ. And God had this plan before the earth was created. He knew we would have a need. And He decided beforehand, He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So God had predestinated that there would be a church, and we are in Christ, we are part of His church, and we are to be conformed, verse 29, to the image of His Son. We get to be like Christ. We get to grow in grace that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'm glad I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think about that. We get to be in the body of Christ. We've been adopted. God is our Father. Aren't you glad that God is our Father? And Jesus is the Son of God, and we are joint heirs adopted sons and daughters of God, and Christ is our pattern. Please notice that in verse 29, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, and Christ is firstborn. Christ is the one whose image we are conformed to. After we get saved and through salvation, we get to become like Christ. And someday we'll be that way perfectly when we get to heaven. Thank God for that. And notice verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And to whom he justified, them he also glorified. I'm glad that I've been called, and I'm glad I've been justified, and I'm glad that God is working a work in my life that brings him glory, and ultimately that will result in us being in heaven, and thank God we'll be like him, and we'll see him as he is. Now, because God has a group of people who are the called according to his purpose, and because God decided he was going to have a relationship with us, and he was going to provide all necessary that he would save us, and he knew there would be those of us who are in Christ who would be the saved and would be the church, he did all of that and for us as a demonstration of the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, and now we get to love God, and we are the called according to his purpose. Now, with all that being said, I want you to go to verse 31, please, and it's our message tonight. What shall we then say in verse 31? What shall we then say to these things? The fact that God loved us, and God called us, and God justified us, and God is conforming us to the image of his Son, and God's working in his life, in our lives, to bring glory to himself. What do we say about all of that as fact? Here's the question, as somewhat the answer. If God be for us, who can be against us? Listen now. If God loved us so much that he gave Jesus for us, and he created redemption's plan, and he decided beforehand, before man was created, knowing we would sin, that by God's grace he would provide Christ, and he would save us, and he would change us, and he would justify us, and he would work his glory in us. With all of that being true, since that proves God is for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Can I remind you tonight, God is for you. God is for you. Tell the person next to you, say, God is for you. God is for you. Hey, listen, I'm glad God is for me. God's not against me. God's not opposing me. I'm his son. I know I'm not very impressive, but listen, you're looking at a son of God. And if you're saved, you're a son of God or a daughter of God. And aren't you glad about that? That means this. We're on the Lord's side. The Lord is on our side. God is for us. And here's the question. If God be for us, who can be against us? We don't have to live a life where we are afraid. Pastor made the tremendous Bible point this morning. Fear, first time he was seeing it in the Bible, was after Adam and Eve sinned. And Adam said, I was afraid. I was afraid. Why? Because fear was the result of sin. But hear me tonight. God saved us. God has called us. God has justified us. We're already seated in heavenly places. We don't have to live scared. If God be for us, who can be against us? Does it make sense that God would do all these things for us in saving us and then just drop us?
Because it makes sense that God would do all what's talked about in those verses, and I'm obviously going through those very quickly tonight, and just going through those concepts and those truths, and you could preach them all night long. Here's the basic of it. We were lost. We were headed towards hell, but God stepped in, and God provided for us all that was necessary to be saved, to be born again, to be a child of the King, and now we get to live our lives for the glory of God. God is for us. God is not against me. I'm not going to face God at the great white throne judgment and be condemned to hell. He already saved me. I'm born again. I'm a child of the King. I don't ever have to face the judgment of God and be cast into hell. Hey, God is for us. Who can be against us? Paul said, what are we stressing about? What are we worried about? What are we fearful about? God has been in control the whole time. God is for us. Notice verse 32, please. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Question. Doesn't it make sense? And Paul's making the point here. If God already gave us his son, don't you think he's going to give us everything else we need? Come on, think with me. Doesn't that make sense? If God already gave his son, is there anything else he's not going to give to you that you need? Now, I know there's things we may want, but there's a difference between what we want and need. I'm saying tonight, upon the authority of God's word, he's for sure going to give you what you need. And aren't you glad he gives you so much of what you want? Amen, right? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the what? Desires of thine heart. Trust in the Lord, and we're believing God, and we're delighting in God. How many of you are glad God hasn't given you some of the things that you wanted at some point in time? You know what that is? That's God knowing best, and since he gave us his son, notice what it says, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Aren't you glad? It didn't just stop with salvation. Along with Christ, we get to live the Christian life. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the journey. Heaven's going to be perfect, but I'm having a good time right now. I love church. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love that I get to serve the Lord. Yeah, Brother Todd, but it's so tough. Hey, won't it be wonderful there when we get to heaven? And I believe, listen, the more we deal with right now, I think it's going to make heaven even sweeter. There's going to be a day when we're out of here, and I'm glad God's taking care of me. And so here's the question. Since he gave us his son, isn't he also going to give us everything else that we do need? So if God be for us, who can be against us? Notice verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can accuse us? Notice verse 33. It is God that justifieth. The devil's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to lay a charge against God's elect. Listen, it is God that justifieth. The devil cannot win in bringing his argument against my God, because against us in front of my God, because God justified me. Come on now, think about it. How many of you are glad you're not going to hell? Would you say amen? If you're justified tonight, who justified you? God. Pastor preached this morning about the power of God to save. So what am I worried about? Hey, listen, the devil can't take me to hell. The devil can say whatever he wants about me, and people can say whatever they want about me, but check this out, I'm saved. Amen. Amen. I'm saved. I've been justified, just as if I'd never sinned. I'm glad God has justified me. Pick up 34. Who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemneth? Who can accuse us? No one. You say why? Verse 34, please notice. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh in intercession for us. Listen, who's going to bring a charge against me when God's justified me? Who's going to accuse me? Notice 34. Who is it that condemneth? Who's going to condemn me? I've got a risen Savior. Think about it. He died, and Paul said there, he rose again. And notice the last part there of 34. Please notice. And who is it even at the right hand of God who also maketh intercession for us? Christ is making intercession for us. Whatever charge that anybody, including the devil, would bring against me, I don't have to worry. You say, why don't you have to worry, Brother Charlie? Because God is for me. God in the person of the Father, and God in the person of the Son, as the devil and as anybody else comes against me, hey, they stand up for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? So there's no person that can come against us. There's no force that can come against us and win their arguments. Because we have God on our side. And we have God who has justified us. And we have God who stands up for us. And we have Christ who intercedes for us. Notice verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What a question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You remember from verse 39, we have the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So here's the question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? You say, Brother Charles, tribulation, what's that? It's pressure. It's testing. It's trial. But let me say this. Even though you go through tribulation, Christ still loves you. Sure. Even though anyone and anything might pressure you, thank God it can't separate us from the love of Christ. Notice verse 35. What about distressed? It's literally the idea of getting squeezed. You ever feel like you're getting squeezed? Come on. And the world and the forces of hell, they're leaning on you. You ever feel like, man, I can't breathe? Come on, I've been trying to help some people recently with anxiety. You know what that feeling? Come on now, some of you are going to have a panic attack right in church. Don't do it now. Wait till after the service. If you do, we'll help you. But here's the point. You get squeezed. And you got anxiety and this idea of being in distress. Have you ever seen somebody that can't get their oxygen? Somebody's having a panic attack. I don't want to trigger one right now. But it's a very distressing situation. And calamity can come and anguish can come. And these different things. Notice here. Even though it may come, distress, it still can't separate us from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Well, Brother Ty, what do you think? You think we may see persecution? We may. Because Paul saw it, and the early church saw it. But if persecution comes, it still can't separate us from the love of Christ. Or famine. What if I don't have enough? God still loves you. What about nakedness? I don't even have basics like clothing. God still loves you. What about peril? What about peril? You think about a boat out on the sea, and you think about the waves coming. You think about storms. Hey, let me say this. In the storm, Christ still loves you, and you're not going to be separated from the love of Christ. What about our sword? Our sword. Oh my, watch this. Hey, or sword. What if somebody would even take your own life? Pastor preached about this morning. The idea of what if we were even to die, or what if we were even to be martyred for the cause of Christ, or sword. What if somebody were to take your life? You say, Brother Todd, what does that mean? It means this. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ, and if God be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't mean we won't face persecution. It doesn't mean we won't face trial and tribulation and testing. It doesn't mean at some point we would not have hardship. It does not mean we might not even die for the faith. But hear me on this. Even to go through all those things, there's one constant truth. God loves me and I love God, and nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Notice, please, verse 36. As it is written, Notice, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. It's referencing, go quickly, we'll look at it because I want you to mark it, cross-reference it. Psalm 44, please. Psalm 44, we're going to take just a moment to notate it. And it's Psalm 44, if you want to write in Romans 8:36 next to it. But look at Psalm 44 and verse 22. Psalm 44 and verse 22. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I'm in Psalm 44 verse 22. And it's cross-referenced here, Romans 8:36, if you're making notation in your Bible. And here it is, Paul in Romans 8 is referencing Psalm 44:22. Here's the idea. If you look at it in Romans 8 again, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Please notice, they may kill us, and even with the sword, and they may value us not very much. Like sheep at the time of slaughter. The Bringhursts are here tonight. They own the butcher shop. And let me just say, when it's time for those animals to die, it's time for them to die. And I'm glad for beef. Hallelujah. But let me say this. Here, the idea would be that there's just a continuance of martyrs and people who would even die for the faith. Do you know they say around the world more people are being martyred for the faith right now than at any other time in world history? Isn't that shocking? Isn't that shocking? Come on, how many find that shocking that people are being martyred and at that rate? See, we need to get moved by this stuff. People are dying for the cause of Christ. Now you say, Brother Ty, why are you preaching that to us tonight? Because there's too many Christians who in our minds were just so stressed out about a bunch of things that are out of our control. And here's the point tonight. If God be for us, who can be against us? And even if it were to come to the point that we might die for the cause of Christ, that still does not mean God doesn't love us. It still does not mean God is not taking care of us. It just means this: He's working His plan in our lives for His glory, and it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's all about Christ. So here's the point. Stop stressing. Here's the point. Rest in Jesus. Rest in the love of God. It doesn't matter what the world says about us. It doesn't matter how the world treats us. We are not going to be separated from the love of God. From the love of God. 38, please notice. I'm sorry, 37. Nay, to the contrary, notice, in all these things, in all what things? All the things he mentioned. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, even being martyred. Nay, in all these things, help me church, we are what? More than conquerors through who? Him that did what? Loved us. Come on now, are you connecting dots here? Here's a constancy in these scriptures we've looked at tonight. The love of God. The love of God in Christ Jesus. He loves you. Come on. He loves you. And you get to love Him. And no matter what happens, peril. Say, man, Brother Tom, I feel like my ship is going to sink. Well, let me say this. If it does, it won't be because God doesn't love you. Come on. And you say, man, I'm getting squeezed, Brother Tom. I got enough anxiety. I feel like my chest, my head, it's all going to explode with the pressure. Hey, watch me on this. If it does, if your head explodes, it'll be why God's loving you at the same time. You say, that's not very encouraging. Oh, it ought to be. Ought to be. You say, why? Paul said we're more than conquerors. Now, how can we be more than conquerors if we just died? Because listen, hey, absent from the body is present with the Lord. And if God chooses that we would give our lives as martyrs, what more could bring glory to God? What could bring more glory to God? Paul later lost his life in Rome. Hey, he wasn't a failure. Let me ask you a question. Since Christ is the firstborn and Christ is the pattern, time out, stay with me. What happened to him? Amen. Look at me now. What happened to him? He was crucified. Was Christ a failure? Was Christ a loser? No, no, no. He was more than a conqueror. Hey, he crushed the devil's head there on Calvary's cross. So when the Christian would die as a martyr, that's not a failure. That's a victory. And we're more than conquerors. We have this spirit like we ought to just be floating through life on this soft cushion with every perfect temperature all the time. We want perfect temperature. We never want to be hungry. We never want to be thirsty. We always want the bills paid. We want to be stress-free. We want to just be enjoying America. I just want to get back to the way it used to be. Hey, let God be God in your life and in my life. Did you ever think that there's a whole lot of stressed out Americans that are more open to the gospel right now because they don't know up from down? Aren't you glad in the midst of the chaos? We've got the Word of God and we've got the love of God. Well, why is God doing this to us? Why God's doing this for us? How come we don't realize God's trying to work in our lives? And if we're stressed out as the world, how are we going to help them? Come on, y'all stay with me now. I'm not preaching all night. Here's the question. If we're all stressed out, how are we going to help them? If we lose hope, oh, but child, the election. We got people ready to jump off bridges. Listen, well, number one, let me say this is not over. Number two, watch this. Number two, hey, listen to me. Number two, even if it doesn't go the way that we want it to go, God didn't die yesterday and forsake America. God's still alive. God's still working a plan. Why do we look at these scriptures and think, well, you know, a problem for me would be I got a flat tire. Well, I didn't say a flat tire is a blessing, but in this day, when Paul was writing, Christian people were dying for the faith. Here it is. We hit a little bump, 2020, and Christian people are jumping off the ship. Hey, no, no, no. Let's stay in the ship. Let's stay in the saddle. Let's say this. If God be for us, who can be against us? God's working a plan. God's trying to do something in this church. God's trying to bring us to a point where we grow our faith in God. Why do we think we are owed some soft life while the rest of the world struggles? Why? Who do we think we are? But we're Americans. Bless God. Thank the Lord. I'm an American by birth. But where do we get the idea that our lives ought to be sunshine and roses like God owes that to us? I heard Pastor Clark preach this morning about the sin in America. We need judgment in the house of God to wake up, watch me, to wake up about our sins and to be broken and contrite to have a revival that would go and spread and make a difference in this world. But if we're all despondent because we don't like it, yeah, you know, a little pressure. I'm not mocking. I'm actually trying to encourage you. Say, yeah, but brother, sorry, this is a little discouraging. No, no, no. It's not. It's the will of God. You say, brother, sorry, what's the will of God? That we would actually go through some things that we don't like. Let me ask you a question. Does it surprise you that unsaved people are acting like unsaved people? I can't believe what they're doing. They're lost. They don't know God. And some of them have gone to the place of being reprobate mind. Why are we shocked by all that? Please keep your marker here. Flip over to Romans chapter 1 very quickly. Turnover, please. Romans chapter 1. Notice some of the description. Romans 1:28. This is what we have in the world today. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they don't even want to think about Him. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with, notice, here we go, all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, notice, haters of God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. They're going to create things and against us. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. That's the world today. So why would we be surprised, since we are in the minority, that not everybody loves us? But here hear me. If they don't love us, God still does. Let's take our hope from the fact God is for us. How do you know He's for us? Because He gave His Son for us, and He knew we were going to be sinners who deserved hell, and instead He justified us, and He's given us a home in heaven, and this little veil of tears that we're living in right now ought to be lived for His glory. Finish out with me, 38, for I am persuaded. I like that. Paul was persuaded. Here's the question. Are you? Come on, tell the person next to that, I am persuaded. Come on, tell them, I am persuaded. Paul is reasoning here and saying, listen, hey, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. Death nor life. Death nor life, what will it do? Well, we'll jump to 39 quickly, and we're coming right back. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Remember how we talked about how wonderful the love of God is? Here, watch this. Death nor life is going to separate us from the love of God. Whether we die, you say, man, it's so morbid. I'm just preaching what the Bible said. Right? For thy sake we are killed all the day long, and our lives are of no value to the world as compared to sheep headed for the butcher shop. So here it is. We're living our lives. Death does not separate us from the love of God, and neither does life, whether it's going poorly or going well. Notice, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Whether it's the angels that are for us or principalities, powers against us. Notice here, nor things present, nor things to come. What you're dealing with now, or what you'll deal with in the future. Somebody listen now. What you're dealing with now, or what you're going to deal with in the future. Well, Brother Chai, what if that happens? I want you to think for just a moment. What's the worst thing you could think of happening to you right now? And you say, well, what if that happens? Well, let me say this. If it happens, God is still on your side. And if God's for you, who can be against you? Notice here. Notice, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, meaning when it's going well, nor depth, when you're in the lowest valley, nor any other creature. So anything you can imagine, anyone you can imagine, that would ever come against you, listen, none of those things, and none of those persons, not even any creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please hear me tonight. Nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So jump up to 28. We're done. Here's what we have to learn. And we know. We don't hope, think so, maybe so. And we know that, help me, what's that next word? All. It didn't say some things. We know that, help me church, all things, they do what? Work together for good. To who? To them that what? Love God. To them who are the called according to what? His purpose. You know God's got a purpose for your life? Well, Ty, what's the purpose for your life? To glorify God. Hold on, time out. How many of you are trying to live your life for the glory of God? How many of you believe that's the purpose of your... Keep your hand up. How many of you believe your life is for the purpose, for the glory of God? Do you really believe that? You may put them down. Doesn't it make sense then that God has the right to decide for us His perfect will? And we know that all things work together for good. Who's good? Well, ultimately, it's our good, but it's because it's what God thinks is good. God is not blessing you just when it's all going the way you want. God is blessing you when it's not going the way that you want, because God's doing it for His glory and not for yours. And no matter what it is that you're going through, the constant consistency is the love of God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, but Charlie, I'll tell you what, if the Democrats get in, and if all goes wrong, and we lose our freedom, you know what's going to happen? The Democrats will be in, and we'll lose all our freedom. Oh, my goodness. So what if they try to shut down the church? And watch this. Here's what they're going to try to do. Shut down the church. I didn't say that's what's going to happen. I said, well, if that's your worst case scenario. Well, what if it is that they start to... You know, I heard AOC say they're going to take names and all the conservatives. What if my name's on the list? And what if they say all the people in New Jersey are suing the governor? They're first in the top of the list in the state of New Jersey. What if that's all going on? Well, I didn't say any of that's going to happen. How many of you ever have your mind just run wild with all the scenarios of what might go wrong in your life? Come on, how many of you just, well, I'll tell you, and you know, I've got young kids, and I've got this, and I've got that. And you know what we have? The love of God. God loves me. How do I know? He gave His Son. He decided I would have an opportunity to be saved. He let me be in Christ. I'm part of God's elect. Hey, I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't care who speaks against me. They can't condemn me. Why? Because Christ is my intercessor. Who's going to lay a charge against me? It doesn't matter, because God's justified me. Why am I going to go through life afraid of even the sword? If God decides it, let it be. Let it come. That's tough. Why is it tough? He loves us. But I don't want it to be that way. Let me ask you a question. Do you want what you want, or do you want what God wants? You're going to say, Brother Charlie, you're sadistic. I'm not sadistic. I'm not sadistic. I love every one of you. But in some ways, when I think about the cupcake of a life I've lived here in this United States of America, if God wants to work in our nation to bring us to a place of revival where some of us might actually have to struggle a little bit to live the Christian life, I'd rather have that, come on, I'd rather have revival, come on, I'd rather have a stirring of Christ Church based on all the reprobate people bringing all they can against us. I'd rather go through that and see God move than to sit here like the Laodicean church, lukewarm, fat and happy spiritually, and not having anything happen. You say, man, it's pretty extreme. The Word of God is extreme. When are we going to look at these people in the New Testament church and realize we're part of the same church they are, and it's just our moment in time? When are we really going to believe more people are being martyred around the world? Say, stop saying that. You make me nervous. Listen, hey, I'm not trying to make anybody nervous. I'm not trying to be weird. I'm not trying to be dark. I'm not trying to be a fatalist. I'm praying for God to bless America, and I want to have opportunity to live free, and I'm willing to be a Christian patriot in whatever form and fashion God wants us to be. But here's my point. We need to stop living with this cloud over our heads, thinking that it's all gone wrong, so somehow we're just supposed to bunker down. Hey, we're more than conquerors. Let's step up. Let's live our lives for Christ boldly. Here's the world, man, and they're just in peril. Well, where's the Christians? Where are we? Get your Bible. Come on now. I'm trying to finish this message, but you don't look convinced still. Get your Bible. Hold it up in the air. The Bible is the Word of God. Would you say that, please? The Bible is the Word of God. You may put it down. Jesus is the answer. Would you say that, please? Jesus is the answer. Your coworker needs Jesus. Your neighbor needs Jesus. Come on. Your unsaved family needs Jesus. Jesus is the answer. The Word of God is the answer. And if God lets us hit a rough stretch or a rough future for America, may God give us some Christian people that actually believe, if God be for us, who can be against us? Man, I'm glad for the Lord. I'm just glad for the Lord. Pastor preached this morning about the power of God. The power of God. He's got the power to create, the power to give life, the power to give salvation. He's the powerful, all-powerful God. So we have got to grow in our faith. We do not, church, we do not need to be discouraged. We do not need to be depressed. We do need to be in despondency, because the Word of God is true, and God loved you so much, He saved you, and He's on your side, and you're on His side, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Father, I pray You'd help me and help our church family. Lord, please build our faith. Lord, from the children here, the teenagers here, young couples in this church, all the way to the senior saints, the oldest here. Oh, dear Lord God, help us to remember that You're for us. Build our faith. Stir us. Challenge us, Lord. Help us to share the light of the glorious gospel. Help us not to be afraid. Help us as we deal with peril in this time in our nation's history. God, I pray we would be in practice more than conquerors. Give us that opportunity, Lord, and let it be all for Your glory. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Charlie, God loves me, and I got saved because I came to realize the love of God, and I received Christ. I know I'm going to heaven, and for a Bible reason. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You know you're saved. Thank God. And you may put it down. Is there anyone in this room tonight? You say, I don't know I'm going to heaven. If I died, I'm not sure that I'd go straight to heaven. And I'm concerned about my soul. I would like prayer. If that's you with heads bowed and eyes closed, you don't know for sure if you were to die that you'd go straight to heaven. Would you raise your hand real high where I can pray for you? Anybody at all tonight? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm concerned about my soul. I need prayer. Would you raise it real high? Maybe you're watching online and you don't know you're going to heaven. Please hear me. God loves you. He loved you so much that He gave His only Son to die for you. And He wants to save you. Right now, I mean this moment, God would save you from your sins. He'd save you from hell. You don't have to live scared of the future. You could trust Christ now. If you're watching online, there's a phone number. Please call it. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady talk to you. A man, we'll have a man speak with you. And in just a few moments over the phone, they can give you scriptures and help you to pray, and you could trust Christ right now. We don't want anything from you. We're not selling anything. A simple phone call, and a person that loves God and would care about you would explain to you how you could trust Christ. Would you have the courage to call that number right now? If you're here and you're not saved, in just a moment, we're going to have people standing here at the front. And if you're a man, you can come to the man. And if you're a lady, you can come to one of the ladies here. Come to Heather where she'll be standing. And somebody will take a Bible and show you how you can go to heaven. Let me say this to everybody in this church that's sitting here. If you're just playing church, you need Christ. Who would say this? Brother Ty, I'm saved. I know the love of God. And I do love God. But the devil's been working overtime on me through all the different circumstances of life. What's going on in my life and what's going on in the world. And it's been unnerving. And I've sensed a spirit of confusion and sometimes near hopelessness. And it's been overwhelming in some form or fashion. And you say tonight, you know, God's Word is true and I'm going to believe it. I'm encouraged tonight in the fact that I know God loves me no matter what goes on. And I'm going to claim this tonight with the help of God, that since God is for me, it doesn't matter who comes against me. Because God is taking care of me. And I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to believe the Lord. I'm going to put my faith in God. No matter what happens in my life, my family, in our church family, or in this nation. During my life, I'm going to put my faith and trust in God. And I'm going to believe that God is for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You're a Christian. God spoke to you like that tonight. And my hand is up. I want to have courage and boldness and faith. And you may put your hands down. Father, please bless our invitation now. I pray for anyone unsaved that they get saved. And I pray for all of us who are saved. Lord, help us to realize what You did for us in giving us Your Son and giving us Your love. Lord, build our faith that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And we pray You bless the invitation now in Jesus' precious and holy and wonderful name. Let's stand to our feet as the piano begins to play. Would you come tonight and pray? If you're you're a saved person, and ask God to help you. Ask God to help you to believe in Him. Be encouraged tonight, Christian. If God's for you, it doesn't matter who comes against you. I am in no way trying to beat up on people that have been dealing with fear and anxiety. And boy, I understand. I've been through and go through. I'm in no way trying to hurt you tonight. I'm saying take hope in the Word of God. Gain help from the truths of Scripture. If you don't know for sure if you were to die, that you'd go straight to heaven. If you're a lady, come to Heather. If you're a man, come to Jason. Just a few moments, they'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Watch it online. Call right now. Dial those numbers. Come to that phone and let somebody talk to you. Where you're standing, kneeling, or sitting, would you pray right now and just thank God for His love? Trust Him. Say, Lord, I know You're working all things together for my good. Help me to believe it. Would be my worst case scenario, I'm still trusting You. I know You love me. Christian people, don't fear the devil in the wrong sense. We understand he's the enemy, but we don't need to cower to the world. What they say, what they do, ungodly people, they're going to be what they're going to be. They're going to do what they're going to do. They need Christ. I want us to go on the offensive. Take the gospel. Christian. Brother Mike, come. What's it mean to be a Christian? Help me. What's it mean to be a Christian? What's the name Christian mean? It means to be what? Christ-like or like Christ. We're Christ followers, right? Jesus won the victory for you and I. And here it is in 2020. We get to be ambassadors for Christ. Think about it. The world's so confused. The world just has no clue. But we have Christ. Let's be bold. Let's be brave. Let's be courageous. Let's be more than conquerors. Look what they did to Him. They lied about Him. They came against Him. They falsely accused Him. They crucified Him. But Christ was victorious. And thank God He went through what He had to go through in order to bring glory to the Father and in order to provide salvation for all of us. And here it is. We get to go through whatever it is that God may order for the glory of God, and so that we might get the gospel to an unsaved world. When's the last time we took our eyes off of the news, take the eyes off of ourselves, and put our eyes on the people around us that need Christ? One bad thing about dealing with this coronavirus now for 9 months has been just the separation between us and people instead of our normal going towards them with the hope of the gospel. You know what we got to do? We got to find a way. We've got to find a way, to continue to get the gospel to the lost world. People need hope. Brother Joel's in the back. RU Ministry, Reformers Unanimous. People need the Lord. There was an addictions group that were out here using our field yesterday in the community, and we let them use the field to have a football tournament. And I'm glad for all the secular addictions groups that do what they can to help people. But can I tell you, the real answer is not in a 12-step program, it's in a one-step salvation. And I'm glad for any of those things that help anybody. But ultimately, that's just a band-aid on the true spiritual surgery that's needed. And so here it is. We get to give the gospel to people that need Christ. If you're in need of help, Joel's there in the back. And I want you to see him at the Welcome Center after the service. We're going to have our World Mission Sunday next Sunday. I want you to pray about it. And I want you to plan for it. I'm sorry, how do you plan and prepare for World Mission Sunday? I want you to pray all week long. Lord, what do you want to do in my heart? And Lord, I want you to increase my burden, which potentially means increase giving. And potentially somebody here, God may want to call you to the mission field. Be it home missions here in the United States or foreign missions to another country. God may want to do that. And every one of us ought to be surrendered to the mission field. I'll restate that. Every one of us ought to be surrendered to the mission field. We ought to be willing to go anywhere God wants us to go. And as the screen sometimes says, as you leave here, you're now entering the mission field every time you leave this place. And we get to be more than conquerors. So Christ is the ultimate example of a winner, a conqueror, a champion. And I'm glad. Listen to the words of the song. Here we go. God helps our country. Sure. What are we going to do? We're going to walk around filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Filled with the Holy Ghost of God. For the glory of God. Yeah, but what we got problems? What do we got this? We're going to just go on for Jesus. because my name is written there. And I've got a mansion over the hilltop. And when he decides we're going home, that's where we're going home, by death or rapture. But until then, let's live every single day for Jesus Christ. Yes and amen. When are we going to get dismissed? As soon as you look more convinced about who you are in Christ, and since God's for you, nobody can do anything to you. God is for us. Who can be against us? They come up and, who are you? God's for me. Amen. Yeah, we're gonna. You're gonna what? The devil can't touch me. Who are you? Because of me, I'm talking because of God. I'm glad for the love of Christ. Come on. We're going to dismiss. We're going. Shake it off. Pray. Let's go out like we're on the winning side. Amen. Because we are. Bless His holy name. You got a living Savior. Pastor said this morning, you're not following Muhammad. You're not following Buddha. You're not praying to a Mary statue. Amen. Come on. Thank God we serve a living Savior. Father, I pray You'd help us. Oh, dear Lord God, we need Your help. In our nation, I pray You'd have mercy. Lord, I pray You'd flip things around. I know You could. I pray You would. Lord, most importantly, I pray You bring revival. And Lord, I pray You do whatever it takes in our nation to bring revival, including whatever it takes in our lives to give us revival. Father, I pray for revival first and foremost at Solid Rock Baptist Church and in our families and in my life. God, I pray You would hear that prayer. And dear Lord God, I pray You would heighten our spiritual sensitivity. Lord, I pray we would have an awareness of Your nearness. I pray You'd open our eyes to the lost people around us who don't know Christ. Lord, I pray You'd help each one of us to deal with the temptations to be fearful, to be overwhelmed, to be overcome, to be discouraged, to be depressed. Dear Lord God, help those in our midst that are struggling in severe ways with that right now. Father, I pray in the powerful name of Christ that You'd encourage their spirit. Lord, help them. Help my brothers, my sisters here tonight. Lord, please bless our church family. Lord, I pray You'd grow our number numerically. I pray You'd add to the church. I pray You give us more converts here, more disciples. Lord, I pray You help Solid Rock to be part of seeing revival brought to Berlin, to Camden County, to South Jersey, to New Jersey, to the Northeast, to our country and around the world. I pray for World Missions Day. Lord, I pray for these missionaries coming in, heroes in the faith. Dear Lord God, help us to be a blessing to them. And Lord, help their messages, their thoughts to stir our hearts. Dear Lord God, help us all to be most thankful for Lord Jesus Christ, the champion of love. Thank You for the love that You've shown to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and given Him to us as our Lord and Savior. And we pray in His precious and holy and wonderful and changeless and eternal, sinless, spotless, powerful name. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you tonight.
This is Pastor Rice. You've been listening to SolidRockInfo.org, their live stream service. Boy, I encourage you again to get a hold of that. That's on the 8th of October. Brother Charlie Clark preached that message. Lord bless you for tuning in here, and Lord bless you again for the encouragement found in God's Word.